You know, Cassius Clay did his training at Miami Beach. And if you've ever seen a Clay fight or watched them on television, there's one fella in the corner that makes a lot of noise and puts on quite a show. And that's Bundini. He and Clay fell out one time, but they got together again. He's the corner man, the personal mystic, who calls him the blessing of the planet, a handler whose sole job is to sort of comb Clay's hair. But he's been with him now, off and on, since the beginning of Cassius Clay. He was warned by the boxing commissioner not to make too much noise at ringside tonight, but I don't imagine, although you and I are in the studio and not at Madison Square Garden, I would imagine that Bo Dini is making a lot of noise tonight as he yells for Clay to hammer away at Joe Frazier. Well, the fight, I don't think it's been a surprise so far. It's been a little bit of what I might have expected in the fact that it sort of seesawed a little bit. And when the fighter fights his type of fight, when Clay jabs and stays away and moves, he's the Cassius Clay. And when Frazier moves in and is able to catch up with Clay, well, then he's Joe Frazier. So I have not been surprised so far. Have you?
I have not at all, and I'm waiting now for the summary of the next round to remind you that we are not at ringside. And now what you will hear is a summary of round 8 as received from the wire services.
Well, in round 8, Frazier pressed the attack and took the 8th round, part of which Clay devoted to clowning, which is surprising. Twice, Clay stood along the ropes and playfully pushed away Frazier's hands in sort of patty cake fashion. When the referee broke them and told them to fight, Clay told Frazier to come on in. Frazier landed most of the blows.
Spring, that time of year when most men head their cars in for a tune-up. New Point, New Plus, a fresh supply of motor oil. And then, of course, there's always that extra edge. STB Oil Treatment.
Clay, evidently, after 8 rounds, looks in better shape and has gotten himself into condition. He had a 3-year layoff, as you know, and that is no question. That would take a lot out of a young man. And Clay, in the first 2 fights that he had, the one against Jerry Quarry and the one against Oscar Bonavina, did not look like the Cassius Clay of old. And for him to win this fight tonight, it would seem to me that he'd have to be in much better shape. And one thing that he'll have to be able to do better, and that is to move backwards, and because he's got to stay away from Joe Frazier. Now, can Clay, slowed but still the swiftest heavyweight around, dance out of destruction's way? Can he utilize his superior reach to stave off the bull-like onslaught of his attacker, Joe Frazier? And can he wear down the relentless machine that is Joe Frazier? Conversely, can Clay, who is able to hit sharply with either hand, outgun Frazier, who is more of a one-arm fighter, and can, in short, the boxer beat the slugger? And that's exactly what we've been having now, Charles, for 8 rounds.
I guess so. You know, surprisingly, you say Madison Square Garden, and that is synonymous with great fights. Surprisingly, the first heavyweight championship fight in Madison Square Garden was held in 1916 on March 25th. And that was when Jess Willard won over one Frank Moran. And that is even before your time, Van, which is saying something. I know it's before Frank Miller's. Some of the great fights, some of the great moments, the old Madison Square Garden.
Why don't you recall?
Which is now something. Well, I recall some of them.
You saw some of them.
I didn't see that many, I'll tell you that. I like the old Madison Square Garden. Tell me the difference. What do you think the difference is in today's Madison Square versus the old arena, which is right down the street from us here?
I like the new Madison Square Garden. I think it's a beautiful arena, and of course, as you say, it's the shrine of boxing, and also now for other sporting events, because the New York Rangers play there, the New York Knickerbockers, and also they hold college games there and many other events, the circus. But it's just a great building, and I think when you visit New York, if you get the opportunity, you should go have a look at Madison Square Garden. You know, a funny thing about it, but the old building, you know, all you had to do was walk in the door and you could just hear the memories whispering around in the wind in the corners, the crevices of that building.
I'd like to whisper something now out loud. We are not at ringside, and what you are hearing during these rounds is a summary of rounds as received from the wire services. Ma'am?
Well, you know, 4 of the most trumpeted fights of the 1960s were the 2 Liston-Floyd Patterson matches and the 2 Liston-Clay bouts. And actually, they sort of added up to a farce in about four acts. And Cassius Clay, in the fight in Miami when he won the heavyweight championship, the round before he won the title from Sonny Liston, he was screaming in his corner that he could not see, that he'd been blinded by some solution on the gloves of Sonny Liston. And he actually wanted to quit. But he came back for the next round, and then Liston suffered the injured shoulder, and the fight was stopped.
We are not at ringside, but what you will hear now is a summary of round nine as received from the wire services.
You know, the mood of the crowd seemed to change before the ninth round began, and they were chanting, "Joe, Joe," for Frazier. Clay threw light punches as the round started, but he then landed with jabs to Frazier's face, and blood trickled from the champion's nose. But the action was noticeably slower for a while, and then picked up with Frazier scoring. Although they do not tell us the voting on the round, how they thought the round went as to who was the winner.
But at least that's how things stood at the end of round nine.
No, I'm no mechanic, friends, but you know what I think makes some people's cars run better? Stop in soon at Revlin's, the place where thrifty people go. Revlin's across from the courthouse in Faribault, bringing you tonight's fight broadcast here on KDHL.
The Cassius Clay that Frazier is fighting tonight at Madison Square Garden is a different kind of fighter from the man who took Liston's heavyweight title away in 1964. That we were talking about a moment ago. Then he was calling himself Cassius Clay, and the slogan of his training camp, if you recall, was "Float like a butterfly and sting like a bee." But at Miami Beach's Fifth Street Gym, the byword is he moves like silk, hits like a ton, and for good reason. Cassius no longer has that lean and hungry look. After 3.5 years of exile, he returned to the ring 4 months ago to dispatch California's Jerry Quarry with a third-round technical knockout. In defeating Quarry, Clay showed that he still had the lightning combinations and the darting moves. But there were two marked differences in his attack. He was a shade slower and a lot stronger. And that strength, actually, may turn out to be, before this night is over, made the difference.
These are really a couple of young guys as far as this fight game is concerned. You want to remember, Jersey Joe Walcott was 37 years old. The oldest man ever to win the heavyweight crown. And some say he was even older, but wouldn't admit to it. What do you think?
Well, I believe he was older. Just like Cassius Clay.
Yeah.
He talks a lot about step and fetch it, and he says he's the youngest 90-year-old that he knows.
Uh-huh.
But another old fellow is Satchel Paige, who was the baseball pitcher. I think he was around 54 or 55 when he came up to the major leagues, and Bill Veeck used to tell a story about him. They'd ask him about Satchel Paige, and he's the man who brought him to the major leagues. And he said at banquets they would ask him, "Bill, how old actually is Satchel Paige?" And he would answer, "I don't know, but he was freed by Lincoln."
What you are hearing is a summary of preceding rounds. We are not at ringside. And now here is a summary of round 10.
In the 10th round, Clay and Frazier fought on even terms. Frazier landing several powerful hooks to the head, Clay countering with lefts and rights to the head. Frazier had a slight swelling over his right eye, and at one point, referee Mercanti broke them at close quarters, and Frazier stepped away. I imagine that he was complaining about the referee's action.
And that was a summary of round 10.
Andy, do you hear something?
Yes, I hear a mechanic singing to a car.
Come on, I want to meet him.
Hold it, Dolly. He's singing our song.
Automobile, why can't you on the wheel?
From the switchboard, we learned that a lot of boxing fans are complaining because we've been calling Muhammad Ali Cassius Clay and Cassius Clay Muhammad Ali. Well, he actually has two names. His God-given name was Cassius Clay. His Muslim name is Muhammad Ali. He prefers to be called Muhammad Ali, but as I mentioned a little while ago, I don't recall it legally being changed. Maybe it was. But we are reading these reports from UPI, from AP, and from Reuters. And it's a funny thing. In the round summaries, they will call him Muhammad Ali in one sentence, and the next one will be Cassius Clay. So why don't we just call him Muhammad Ali for a while?
We'll do that, and I think everybody will be happy.
At least to give the girl on the switchboards rest, won't it?
Poor little Connie. We're talking about old men who are winning fights and young men. Floyd Patterson. I'd like to talk about him for a moment, if you will. 21 years, 10 months, 26 days, which is pretty close to 22 when he won the crown. Now, you and I were at ringside, and we saw Floyd Patterson not too long ago in Miami when he fought the bellboy from the Fontainebleau, I think
it was.
Levi
40.
Levi
40.
He
was bartending bell the next day.
That's right, and he dripping orange juice all over the carpet. Floyd Patterson, is he going to come back and make any showing at all, Van?
Here again, we have a situation where Patterson may be past his prime, too, as far as fighting a man like Clay or Frazier. Floyd has money. He's well fixed. Why he continues to fight, I don't know. He's a perfect gentleman, a great credit to boxing. But he says, as he told us in Miami, that boxing's in my blood. It's the one thing I know. It's the one thing that I want to continue doing. But I just honestly, Chuck, I don't believe that Frazier could beat, that Patterson could beat Frazier or Muhammad Ali.
I think that Floyd Patterson looked good the night we saw him in Miami. But I think he'd look good against Frank Miller that night.
But you know, I think the fight that he will actually have will be against George Foreman. I think that'll be the next fight for Floyd Patterson. That'll be a good fight. It'll be a good test, too, for Foreman. It'll also be a good test for Patterson.
Like to remind you, we are not at ringside. What you are hearing are summaries of preceding rounds. And here now is Van Patrick with a summary of round 11.
And interesting indeed. Frazier, staggered. Muhammad Ali with a thundering left hook after 2 minutes of the 11th round, and Muhammad almost went down. He spun into the ropes, and then on rubbery legs, managed to elude Frazier for the rest of the round. In the first minute of the round, Clay went down, but that was a slip, some water in Frazier's corner, and was not counted as a knockdown.
And that's how things stood at the end of round 11.
Now, I don't want to imply that any of you are in a rut when it comes to buying gasoline, but...
You know, I was just wondering, Chuck, the fact that Frazier caught Clay, and I was just going back now, reminiscing about that great fight between Joe Louis and Billy Kahn. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
And Billy Kahn was leading on points. He had the fight won. It was the 13th round. And then I guess Billy decided, well, I'll just put an end to the myth of Joe Louis and I'll knock him out.
Mm-hmm.
You think maybe that might have happened down there in round 11?
Well, that was just one of those things. That was one of the great fights. In fact, I think that surprised Joe Louis as much as surprised anybody in the world. You know, the invincible. But, you know, the mighty must fall. What are you talking about, Joe Louis? Why do you think he never did come back, never could come back? Because he waited too long?
He waited too long. I really do. I remember that fight, too, with Rocky Marciano, when Marciano knocked him out, and Marciano actually cried that night because Joe Louis was his idol. Joe is a very good friend of mine. We played golf together. I spent a lot of time with him, and as you know, on many of our heavyweight fight broadcasts over many of these mutual stations, Joe was at ringside with us. I used to ask him, could you beat Muhammad Ali? Could you whip him? He said, I could if I could catch him.
You can't hide, but you can hide.
That's right. That's what he said about Billy Kahn. Yeah. You remember? He says he may be able to run, but he can't hide.
What about Rocky Marciano?
Well, you know, I've been spending the last week covering Major League Baseball spring training in Florida. And the other day I passed Rocky Marciano's home in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It almost makes you want to cry because here was one of the great heavyweight champions of all time. Undefeated. Rocky Marciano, who lost his life in that plane crash out in Iowa.
To repeat, we are not at ringside, and what you are hearing are summaries of preceding rounds. And here's Van with round 12.
And interesting indeed again. Frazier staggered Ali again early in the 12th round with two left hooks. But Ali, though dazed, fought back with jabs during the rest of the round. Frazier won the round by a wide margin. Frazier had a slight cut inside his mouth, but he was the one landing the solid punches. The end of round 12. Promoters of this fight tonight, they started off talking about in terms that this fight might gross $50 million. You heard Bob Considine a little earlier in this broadcast say that $20 million might be a little closer now, and there are some who say, and we talked to some officials today, that it might gross far less than that. Simply because there just aren't enough seats available in the theaters and the stadiums around the country that they're utilizing to show this fight on closed circuit television, or perhaps it's not that much money around
to sell out all the seats across the country. You heard Dick Buller report in Detroit. They were sold out there. They're certainly sold out here in New York. But over in Europe, they were counting on a lot of seats being sold. But you got to remember, there's, what, 6 hours difference in time? Well, what is it, 6 o'clock over there now? Mm-hmm. 5:30 in the morning?
Right.
Who's up watching that fight in the theater?
That's very true.
Too bad we don't make a call to one of those pubs over there and find out what's happening.
Having been to London, I assure you the pubs are not open this time of morning. If they were, Frank Miller would have been in them. One of the things, they could have had two Madison Square Gardens tonight, of course, because those tickets sold out in about 3 hours. Not the great, great big ones. I don't know what happened to those. That'll be another story, but most of the seats went.
You know, some of the most unhappy people in the world, Chuck, are the little fight promoters. The fellas across the country who have tried to keep the fight game alive. They have struggled. They have lost money repeatedly. But, you know, ironically, they were not given much of an opportunity to show this fight in their arenas and the theaters. It's sort of a show business type operation with this one. And they were not given the opportunity in most of them.
We'd like to remind you again that we are not at ringside tonight. We are bringing you 50-word summaries after each round as soon as possible after they are received from the wire services.
I'm looking forward to that 12th round, too, I'll tell you that.
Should be a good one. Do you think that either man or any man will ever see a $2.5 million gate again? I mean, purse.
Well, now, the promoters of this fight, as I understand it, at least they have been quoted as saying that they have the contract for the return bout. And they hope that the fight will gross even more. But I doubt it. As a matter of fact, when the final accounting is made of this fight, I'm going to make a prediction for you, Chuck. I believe they're going to lose money. I really do.
On the overall fight?
On the overall.
Well, we're continuing with our summary reports. We are not at ringside. And what you are now about to hear will be a summary of round 13.
Round 13. Frazier won the 13th round by a solid margin, shaking off Ali's long punches, crowding him into corners. Frazier took a few punches to the head, landed solid shots to the body, and once snapped Ali's head back with a left hook. There was no bounce in Ali's legs as the bell clanged.
We have had many phone calls, complaints coming in, asking how many rounds each fighter has won. We'd like to advise you that under the order of the court, we are allowed to give only 50-word summaries between rounds and must stick just to that summary from the Associated Press, Reuters, or United Press International.
Now,
we cannot give you any other information.
And let me say this, Chuck.
Following the fight.
The people right there don't know because the judges and the referee keep their voting a secret. The people watching at Madison Square Garden have no idea of what the voting is. Of course, they are watching it, and they can make up their own mind, and the writers covering it can make up their decisions, but they don't mean a thing. It's the judges, the two judges and the referee in New York State, who will make that decision, and they will not give that decision until the fight is over. If the fight goes 15 rounds, it looks like now it's well on its way to going 15 rounds, but they don't know either, so I don't know how anybody could be complaining.
Well, since we are restricted in our coverage, we give you the information we can under the order of the court. We'd like to remind you, however, that directly following the broadcast tonight, we are going to have a big roundtable, and you're going to find out exactly what happened and why. Then Don Crickey and Van Patrick, Bob Considine, and a group are going to come over and sit around and give us a first-hand opinion and a first-hand report on everything that happened. It should be one of the best post-fight broadcasts, Van, we've ever had, because everybody, I think, will be waiting to try to find out what happened and why it happened. And that's, I think, I like critiques sometimes a lot more than I do the actuals. I just soon sit back and hear somebody do a commentary. Not that I guess I do. I want to find out what happened. I want to see if it agreed with what I saw or what I heard.
You know, that's a funny thing, too, you know, talking about what you saw. And there again, you go, if you're watching the fight, you can be 9 rounds off in your picking of the fight. I mean, of how you scored that round in relation to the judges scoring of a round or the referee scoring. As a matter of fact, the judges themselves are way apart sometime. But in New York State, and the New York Boxing Commission, under Commissioner Dooley, has some very fine officials, and they do an outstanding job in this state.
Well, did you ever go to a fight in your life when the thing was over with,
But you didn't hear some people applaud and some people boo.
No, I've never been to any sporting event.
That's right, because a lot of people see things differently from where they are. And that's why they have referees, and that's why they have judges right up front.
And horse races.
We were talking about great fighters before. If I were to ask you, Van Patrick, who is the greatest fighter you've ever seen, or based on the record book, which I know you know very well, who's the greatest fighter of all time, who would it be?
Joe Louis.
Joe Louis. No way out of it.
Well, I didn't see some of those fellas that you watched, Jack Johnson and Bob Fitzsimmons and some of those fellas, but I did see Joe Louis, and I saw a lot of his fights, and actually, he's the greatest fighter.
Are they bartenders up in Pleasantville? Is that... Their name sounded familiar for a moment or two.
No, but he actually is, and he's one of the greatest human beings, too, that I've ever met.
He's been ill lately.
Right. As a lot of people know, he's been in the psychiatric hospital, but you talk to him, and he's at the fight tonight. He's at ringside, and I saw him just recently, and they held a big dinner for him in Detroit just a couple of months ago, and Bill Cosby was the MC, and they raised a lot of money for Joe Louis. But you just wonder how much money Louis could have made today had he been fighting. In round 14, Muhammad Ali had the edge in the 14th round, landing punches off the top of Frazier's head as Frazier took punches in an effort to get inside and land a big wallop. Joe had a slight cut alongside his right eye. Frazier also had a swelling above his left eye. We've got one more round to go at Madison Square Garden.
And that's how things stood at the end of round 14.
We've got one more round to go at Madison Square Garden, and Chuck and I sit here in the studios in New York, in the Mutual Network studios, where it's 29 degrees outside and a few snow flurries. And, I'm just about as excited as those folks who are at ringside now wondering what's going to happen, because it does look like the fight's going to go 15 rounds. And just judging by what we've been able to get from our wire service reports, I'm just glad I'm not one of the judges.
That's right. And when we conclude after the 15th round, if it goes the full 15... without a TKO or a knockout in the 15th, we then, Van and I, will go back and sift through those round-by-round reports again and then bring you up to date on exactly what happened and how it happened. And then at the Statler Hilton Hotel in New York City, Mutual microphones are there, and Bob Considine, Don Criqui, and many of the celebrities of the sports world are coming to the Mutual microphone. And in our post-show, we'll go over with you in critique form, in practically blow-by-blow, after the fact, what happened, at least as they saw it. Be very interesting tonight, regardless of how this comes out, Van, to take a man like Don Criqui and also Bob Considine, and when they tell us, Tim Ryan, too, let them, from their vantage point, I'll bet there'll even be a difference in what they have to report, talking about reports before about how some people see one thing and some people see another.
Well, if this fight ends in a decision, and it appears now that it might, what a rematch they're going to have. And you asked me a while ago if I thought they would ever have a gate to rival this one, and it's possible that it could. It's according to what type of fight the two had tonight, and I'm sure that there'll be a rematch regardless. I don't think either fighter, although they've said that this may be their last fight, they've got enough money now after this one, they'll retire. But you can almost be certain they'll fight again, especially for paydays like this.
Do you think there are any other two fighters around today in the heavyweight class who could command this type of gait as these two? Answer that after I tell you, Van, and remind everyone again that we are not at ringside.
No. There's a shortage of fighters, as you know, and they're just fortunate, the promoters, to have two men like Clay and Frazier. And here it is. Joe Frazier outpointed Muhammad Ali tonight and retained the heavyweight championship of the world. The last round started with Ali going for Frazier's head with lefts and rights. Frazier dropped Ali with a left hook to the jaw. Ali got up at the count of four but had to take the mandatory eight count. Frazier went after Ali with rights and lefts, and Ali wobbled to the ropes. Ali was shook by a hard left hook to the jaw, and he hung on desperately. And Ali's right jaw was swollen, and the right side of his face had ballooned. His jaw may have been broken. Frazier pounded away at the swollen jaw. Ali was staggered,
as the fight ended a very big round for Frazier, and Joe Frazier has outpointed Muhammad Ali tonight and retained the heavyweight championship of the world at Madison Square Garden.
We'll be back in a moment with a recap of that most exciting 15th round.
Say, Mr. Motorist, have you discovered that the North Star can be your guide to greater motoring economy and pleasure? I'm referring, of course, to Revlin's North Star Service Station across from the courthouse in Faribault.
Repeating, Joe Frazier outpointed Muhammad Ali tonight, retained the heavyweight championship of the world, and I think that 15th round bears repeating, Joe.
Man, that was a beauty.
The last round started with Muhammad Ali going for Frazier's head with lefts and rights. It could be that Clay figured maybe he had to score a knockout to win the fight. Frazier dropped Ali with a left hook to the jaw. Ali got up at the count of four, but he had to take the mandatory eight count. Frazier went after Ali with rights and lefts, and Ali wobbled to the ropes. Ali was shook by a hard left hook to the jaw. He hung on desperately. Ali's right jaw was swollen, and the right side of his face had ballooned. His jaw may have been broken. Frazier pounded away at the swollen jaw, and Ali was staggered as the fight ended. A big round for Frazier, and here's more.
Here's more. It's a first loss as a pro for Ali, who was deposed as heavyweight champion for refusing Army induction. Both he and Frazier went into the fight unbeaten. Frazier knocked Ali down in the 15th round for the only knockdown of the fight. And Ali was badly hurt in that round. He barely hung on to the finish, his face badly swollen. Frazier weighed in at 205 and one half pounds. Ali today, 215. Van?
Joe Frazier buried a myth to remove the only stain on his world heavyweight crown, laying the ghost of Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, to rest with a vicious barrage of left hooks that smashed the challenger's jaw, dumped him to the canvas in the 15th round, and he took a unanimous 15-round decision at Madison Square Garden. And there we have the first report on how the judges voted. It'll be coming in on our UPI, AP, and Reuters, and we'll give you how the judges voted, how the referee scored the fight. But that 15th round must have been a dandy tonight for Joe Frazier, and he must be a happy young man tonight.
Go ahead. Excuse me, Van. I just want to remind our listeners that no longer are we in the past tense as far as the presentation of the rounds are concerned. Any information coming into our newsroom from our mutual correspondents or from the wires of AP, UPI, or Reuters will be delivered to our desk, and you'll be given that news immediately as it happens. And we will continue in 1 minute.
Chuck, you were just talking about the fact that no champion has ever come back to win the heavyweight title, to recapture it, and the same thing happened tonight. Cassius Clay came back, but he did not win his heavyweight title back. We're sure that millions of Americans will share mutual gratitude to Andy Granatelli, president of STP, for his appreciation of the great public interest in this broadcast tonight and for helping to make it available to the public and to our armed forces overseas, as our broadcast has been transmitted on the American Forces Network all over the world, as well as being broadcast over some 600 radio stations in America.
As you know, tonight's broadcast will continue with a special post-fight broadcast, where we're going to hear a story and a great story from the mutual men in the field.
Yes, let's go now to Don Creakey. Don, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, what about the fight?
Well, Van, it was very much a Joe Frazier night. There was no question that he was the winner, and I would have to express a great deal of surprise, as did most of the 19,500 at the Garden, that referee Arthur Mercanni could score at 8-6-1 even. One judge had it 11-4. But it's one of the most remarkable things about Ali after the layoff is the amount of punishment he took. He constantly was battered round after round, and those body punches with Bonavena thought would ultimately prove the difference and bring his guard down and ultimately result in a KO did not occur. Ali was able to sustain the attack from Frazier. And at the end of the fight, Joe Frazier was badly battered about the face. He'd taken the left hands from Ali. But I think in a general summation of the fight, there's no question that Muhammad Ali lost something in the 3.5 years that he was away. He doesn't have the speed he had. But it was a lot tougher fight when you got down close to Joe Frazier than it appeared from a distance, because Frazier was badly chopped up. Bob Considine of Mutual is also with us. And, Bob, your observations.
Well, it was one of the most unusual fights I've ever seen, Don. There were long periods there where I wondered whether it might be questioned later by the New York State Athletic Commission and by the people who paid money for it all the way to Pakistan or someplace. There's no question about the winner. Joe Frazier pressed the fight throughout. Allie fought a strictly defensive fight, but I must say, as you just mentioned, Joe was pretty puffed up toward the end, and I'm not sure how he'll do with that, whether he'll be the belle at the ball at that $30 plate dinner here tonight, wherever it is in New York, if he shows. But he was the master tonight. He was completely unimpressed by Muhammad Ali's punching power, and at one point in the fight just held his hands down and invited Muhammad to hit him. I've never thought Clay, as I insist on calling him, ever had much of a punch, really. And I think that several of his fights were suspect, notably one over Sonny Liston. However, I must give him credit. He fought back gamely tonight when all seemed lost, and on several occasions he came out fresher after a bad beating in the previous round than even the fellow who had given him the beating. It was, as it turned out, a good fight, I thought, and their return match will be announced at noon tomorrow, I understand. I'm not sure.
I think we're going to have one. There's no question. I think it was interesting, Bob, that you pointed out certain areas of the fight were suspect. I think you almost had to expect Ali to come off the ropes when time and again he was against the ropes. He put his hands on Frazier. He held for 10 rounds, really, and you were always waiting for him to explode with a combination of punches, which really never came. He was hurt badly in the 11th round.
I thought so.
He buckled, was wobbly towards the end of the round, but in the 12th round, he was remarkably composed again.
Yes, he was.
He's a superb athlete, there's no question about it.
Well, he's still a very good athlete, and I thought he was in very good shape tonight. He had the advantage of 10 pounds of weight and, 6 inches of reach, and made full use of him. But what amazed me was that he would lean against the ropes and give the most feeble punches back and yet be able to protect himself for long periods in 3 or 4 rounds there. And I wondered, I've seen more savage fighting around ropes. He's suffering from a very bad case of third degree rope burns.
It was rather docile around the ropes. There wasn't a great deal of infighting. I think Ali has a remarkable ability of protecting himself. He had a 4-inch height advantage, 6'3 to 5'11, and I guess his reach advantage was somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 inches, or 6.5 inches.
There was nothing docile about that left hook in the 15th.
He went down hard, and he hit his head. I was amazed that he bounced up like he did, hopped up like a greyhound. But the one thing about Frazier is relentless pursuit, and I would think just from a standpoint of how he took the fight to L.A., he was fighting the whole time, Joe Frazier. There were times when he wasn't as effective as at others, but he was always throwing punches.
He did 80% of the fighting tonight, I don't know what the union rules are in this peculiar arrangement of $2.5 million each, but I think he deserves more money than out of the 5 million pots than Muhammad Ali, because he did more work.
Well, for $2.5 million each, you can get Considine and Cricky in there tomorrow night.
I would think it'd be a valid rematch, and I must say that the promoters share my thoughts on this.
Bob, we'll be coming back to the Statler Hilton in downtown New York, across the street from Madison Square Garden, in a minute.